Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 3, where the writer begins, "Therefore, holy brothers, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest whom we confess." Fix your thoughts on Jesus. You might fix your thoughts on other things, he's saying. Hebrews, written to a Jewish audience, they might have fixed their thoughts on angels, as chapter 1 deals with. They might have fixed their thoughts on Moses, as chapter 3 deals with, or on a whole lot of other things. But the writer says, fix your thought on Jesus, because, as it says at the end of chapter 2, he is a faithful high priest. He is able to make atonement for our sins. He's able to help us when we're tempted. And he's the one who defeats the devil and defeats death. Why would you want to fix your thoughts on anyone else? Fix your thoughts on Jesus. But, of course, there's always a temptation for Christians as well for us to fix our thoughts on something else. In spiritual terms, there's always the temptation for us to fix our thoughts on the past, to be nostalgic, to think of another time, another place, perhaps when we imagine or maybe know that things were spiritually better. Perhaps to look back on a past, maybe we experienced it, or maybe it's something we've just read about that we view in a very romantic kind of way. And we long for it, and we know that today is a day, as we might say, of small things spiritually, and we long for greater days. And any of us who read spiritual biographies or accounts of revivals or whatever will probably have that feeling from time to time. We would like to be in those glory days of the past. Well, the writer of Hebrews now mentions Moses. Jesus, verse 2, was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Moses. And you can just see the Jewish readers, at the mention of the name Moses, their eyes misting over, and they sigh with a deep spiritual sigh. Ah, Moses. Good old Moses. That's when we were at our best. In the days of Moses. The Jewish readers have a soft spot for Moses. In their history, Moses is an immense character. Character with great pedigree in spiritual terms. He's the man who led Israel out of Egypt. The man who spoke with God, the man who gave the law, the man who really helped to establish Israel as a people with their own law code and with their own priesthood and ministry. Moses, a man of great character. No one like Moses. You get anyone like that in your own experience? You look back and say, oh, there's no one like him, there's no one like her. Moses represents the glory days. And these religious Jews he's writing to had huge admiration for Moses. If you read through John's Gospel, there's quite a lot said about Moses. In John's Gospel, the Jews regard themselves as Moses' disciples, they say in John chapter 9. We are Moses' disciples. In John 5, Jesus tells them that they set their hope on Moses. And in John 6, Jesus says that they even think it was Moses that brought the manna from heaven. And so the Jewish people may well think, if we just do things the Moses way, if we could just go back to being like Moses and following Moses properly and being the kind of people and the kind of nation that Moses taught, then the glory days will return for the Jewish nation and for our people. And we might have a thought like that ourselves. If we could only just go back to the days of the great Highland preachers, or to the days of the Highland revivals, or to some previous age, then if we could just be like them again, if we could just be like the people we've read about, if we could just be like some of the people we knew when we were young, the glory days will return. Nostalgia. Well, the writer here does not indulge nostalgia. Just doesn't let them get away with that at all. He says it very plainly in verse 3, comparing Jesus and Moses. He says, Jesus has been found worthy of greater honour than Moses. Just as the builder of a house has greater honour than the house itself. Well, you can't deny that. The builder is greater than the house. That's the distinction, says the writer, between Jesus and Moses. Why would you want to fix your thoughts on Moses when you can fix your thoughts on Jesus? See, it's like this, he says, verse 5. Moses was faithful as a servant in God's house. But Christ, verse 6, is faithful as a son. And Moses was faithful in God's house. Christ was faithful over God's house. Moses was just one of the people. Christ is over the people. Moses is a servant of God, but Jesus is the Son of God. What we have now, says the writer, in Jesus, is far superior than anything you've had at any other time in your history as a people. So why would anyone be nostalgic in the Christian era? Why would anyone think, well, if only we could go back to those glory days? Well, Hebrews as a letter was probably written to the church in Rome. We've got one little clue at the very end of the letter where it says, those from Italy greet you. And so it's probably saying that wherever the writer is, there are some people with him who are from Italy, from Rome probably, where the church is centred, and they're greeting their friends back in Rome. And Rome wasn't an easy place to be a Christian, and it was not an easy place to be a Jew. Mid-first century, the emperor was a man called Claudius. And Claudius took it upon himself to expel the Jews from Rome. So between 49 and 54 AD, Claudius said, no Jews in Rome. And whatever Jews there were in Rome, many of whom had done very well in Rome as business people, very successful, influential, Claudius said, you've got to leave. All of you, get out of Rome. And this letter, being written particularly to Hebrew Christians in Rome, probably then has to have been written after they started to return to Rome. But of course, their return to Rome was never going to be like what they had before Claudius expelled them, when they had been long established as a people with their communities and with their business and so on. They were returning to Rome with nothing. But also they were coming into the church. And the church would be meeting around Rome and in houses, different groups, and very aware of the opposition and hostility of the Roman authorities. So if you were a Jew in that situation, meeting in a little house church, feeling the sense of persecution, perhaps with very little, because you'd had to leave it all behind when you fled, and now you had nothing. Looking back to the glory days of Israel, and as described in the Old Testament, where they have their own temple and priesthood and ministry and capital and extensive influence in the Middle East and great power, great importance as a people, and they're free. You little wonder you might have nostalgia for that in your little persecuted house church. We could have that tonight. It's a temptation some people feel more than others. Are you a nostalgic kind of person? I'm already nostalgic this evening for the light evenings that we've just left behind. I hate this time of year. You suddenly lose your light evenings. Longing for it. But the glory days will return in 6 months. I know that there's a bit of nostalgia in me. I'm someone that can be tempted to it. Some of you, if you know me a bit, you know I have a hobby that I sometimes get round to, of restoring old radios. And I'm working an old radio just now. It's not a particularly old radio. It's only 1962, so that's... But it's still one of these lovely old radios with valves, and it's just from a better day in terms of radios, I think. The glory days when Britain could make a decent radio that would last for a very long time out of wooden cabinets and quality components instead of the rubbish that's produced today. So you work on this radio and you think, this is great, we're going back to the glory days. And you switch it on and you tune it. It's not the Glenn Miller band that comes out, of course, is it? It's Radio 1. Some grunge or some rapper or something. Ah, the glory days are not here anymore. We can be a bit like that spiritually. It's beguiling. You remember better days. Better days for yourself as a Christian. Maybe when you were first converted and the joy of that and the experiences you had. Better days for the church. Maybe you remember them or maybe you've read about them. Better days under former ministers, perhaps. I said this morning, actually. I think that looking over the Church of Christ in this area today, it's in worse shape than it's been in at any time since I came to this area. And it's, even when I came to the area, it was a shadow of what it had been within living memory. You think of the picture that some of you still may have. I've got a copy of it, and it used to hang in a lot of the old houses in Plockton, of the 1934 communion being celebrated in July in the open air church in Plockton. And there's hundreds and hundreds of people sat in the terraces around the communion table that runs centrally up in the middle of the natural amphitheatre there. And the ministers are giants, of course, ministering out of their special kind of wooden canopy that protects them from the elements, protects the Bible as well from the elements. It seems like just such a great occasion. And these are the faithful servants, as it were, like Moses. And compared to now, those days are glory days. And nostalgia can eat us up and preoccupy us with the past. There's a problem, or there's a few problems with nostalgia. First of all, nostalgia is crippling. It's impossible to recreate what nostalgia imagines. Even if you could go back in time, even if you could recreate what you remember or what you've read about, it wouldn't be what you think it is. Moses, remember Psalm 90 that we sang a minute ago. Moses, the writer of that, he says the glory days, when he was alive, they weren't glory days at all. They might have had the pillar of cloud, but it was no fun in the wilderness. And they were living as a people under judgment. Moses was longing for better days. The days that these Jewish people might be tempted to look back on and say, these were the great days. Moses was in those days and saying, I long for better days. It says, verse 5, that Moses was testifying to what would be said in the future. He was looking forward to the future. He wasn't nostalgic. He was longing for Jesus. So, nostalgia's never going to get us to where we need to be spiritually. And we should be glad to be alive in 2017. There's no better time to be alive than now. And one of the reasons the book of Hebrews says that is because we live now in the last days. Back at the very beginning of the book, it says, in the past God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. These are the days we live in, the last days, the days since Jesus came, the days since Jesus came until Jesus comes again. These are the last days, the days when God has spoken, not through Moses, but through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so today, tonight, we're being called by God not to look back for some nostalgic better era. We're being called by God to recognize, look, we're living right now in the last days when God has spoken by his Son. We live in these days when we have Jesus to fix our eyes upon. And Jesus is everything at this moment that he was when this writer wrote this letter. Jesus is everything, absolutely 100% of what he was back round about AD 60 or whenever when this letter was written. Jesus is absolutely everything tonight that he ever has been since he took his seat at the right hand of God as the risen and glorious Saviour that he is. Fix your eyes upon him. There's no day or no moment to be alive that's better than this moment, because this is a Jesus moment. This moment, this now that we have, is the day of salvation. It is the time of God's favour. What a time to be alive. And so each one of us, instead of getting lost in the labyrinth of nostalgia, we need now to fix our eyes on Jesus and to take hold of what God offers us in Jesus Christ, so that the glory that we long for can be ours now in Jesus. So let's not daydream about the past. Let's not romanticize it. Let's not dwell on it. The past's the past. Today, in the last days, God is speaking to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so, as verse 6 says, we must hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast in Jesus. What a time to be alive. Who would want to be alive at any other time? Let's forget nostalgia. Another thing about nostalgia is that not only can it not deliver what we would like, but also the very thing that we think nostalgia remembers is not true. It wasn't really like that. And the second half of chapter 3 exposes that very clearly. The writer quotes from Psalm 95. Psalm 95, which we sang together, applies to now, says the writer. Today, verse 7, today, if you hear his voice, what are you to do? Not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion, and so on. Today, in these last days when we have Jesus, don't harden your hearts as you did in the time of the rebellion, during the time of testing in the desert. When was that? When was the time of testing in the desert? Well, verse 15 again. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. When was it? Verse 16. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? What's he saying? That the glory days, when Moses was leading Israel out of Egypt with signs and wonders, they were the worst days. They were times of rebellion. They were times when these forefathers of theirs provoked God for 40 years, verse 9 says. And God was angry with that whole generation and declared that they would never get into the promised land. They would never enter the rest. So, even if you live in the glory days, it doesn't necessarily make you a believer. It doesn't necessarily make you a man or a woman of God. And so we'd say to ourselves, if only we lived in that day, if only we lived in the day when the church was like that, or when they had that minister or whatever. Well, it might well be that you could live through the glory days and come out the other end with a hard heart. Because in verse 8, they hardened their hearts. They saw the glory of God. They saw God deliver them by the plagues. They saw the sea divide. They saw the daily provision of manna, and they saw the daily provision of quail. And yet, they hardened their hearts. They strayed, as verse 10 says. Their hearts were always going astray. Verse 12, the warning then is that none of us would have a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. That none of us would be hardened by sin's deceitfulness, as verse 13 says. That none of us would, as verse 18 says, disobey or not enter, verse 19, because of our unbelief. In the glory days, many still resisted God. And verse 11, they didn't enter into the rest of God. So maybe you can remember the glory days. Maybe you can remember the better days yourself. Maybe it's not just something you've read about in a book. If you can remember better days, did those better days make you a Christian? Did those better days make you a follower of Jesus Christ? You know, there's a great danger with nostalgia that it takes your focus off the present. It stops you from thinking about what you need to do now, about your responsibilities now. And it makes you think, well, if we had a better minister, if the church was in a better condition, if the nation was in a better state, if we just lived in that particular time of glory, that particular time of spiritual blessing, then we'd be followers of Jesus. Then we'd be full of faith. But that's like wishing for a kingdom made of Battenberg cake. It just doesn't exist. you've only got now. And you can waste now by being nostalgic. You can waste now by thinking about the past. What a waste of time it is to be nostalgic. The Word of God says, today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. It's today. It's right now. Whatever the past was, whatever it was like, it's now that you have to fix your eyes on Jesus. It's now that you have to say, well, whatever the condition is of the church, or of myself, or of the nation, whoever we have in the pulpit, or whatever it is, the fact is, Jesus is still on the throne of glory. He is still a merciful and a faithful high priest. He is still able to make atonement for the sins of the people. And so, we can come to God through Him in these last days. And we, in these last days, today, we can experience glory, the glory of His salvation in our lives, everlasting glory through Jesus Christ. So please, put your nostalgia away. Nostalgic people are fruitless. Nostalgic people achieve nothing. Let's be a contemporary people. Let's be people who are focused upon Jesus now and upon what Jesus, the glorious one, can do right now in our lives and in the church and in our community and in our nation. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. Amen.